Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
episode 7 of An Aussie Reading, The Way of Chang Tzu. I don't really expect anyone to be really listening to it, but by doing a podcast, it forces me to read things around. So we're up to page 111. That means nothing to you, of course. Perfect joy. Is there to be found on earth a fullness of joy, or is there no such thing? Is there some way to make life fully worth living, or is this impossible? If there is such a way, how do you go about finding it? What should you try to do? What should you seek to avoid? What should be the goal in which your activity comes to rest? What should you accept? What should you refuse to accept? What should you love? What should you hate? Or what the world values is money, reputation, long life, achievement. What the world counts as joy is health and comfort of the body, good food, fine clothes, beautiful things to look at, pleasant music to listen to. This is the 3rd century BC, my godfather. What it condemns is lack of money, low social rank, reputation of being no good, and early death. What it considers misfortune is bodily discomfort, labour, no chance to get your fill of good food, no having good clothes to wear, having no way to muse or light the eye, no pleasant music to listen to. If people find that they are deprived of these things, they go into panic or fall into despair. They are so... Let's read it here. They are so concerned for their life, their anxiety makes life unbearable. Even when they have the things they think they want, their very concern for the enjoyment makes them unhappy. Rich make life intolerable, driving themselves in order to get more and more money, which they cannot really use. In doing so, they are alienated from themselves and exhaust themselves to their own service, as though they were slaves to others. The ambitious run day and night, in pursuit of honours, constantly in anguish about the success of their plans, dreading miscalculations that may wreck everything. Thus, they are alienated from themselves, exhausting their real life in service of the shadows created by the insatiable hope. The birth of a man is the birth of his sorrow. The longer he lives, the more stupid he becomes, because his anxiety to avoid unavoidable death becomes more and more acute. What bitterness, he lives for what is always out of reach. This, his thirst for survival is the future that makes him incapable of living in the present. What about self-sacrificing officials and scholars? They are honoured by the world because they are good, upright, self-sacrificing men. Yes, their good character does not preserve them from unhappiness, nor even ruin, disgrace and death. I wonder, in that case, if their goodness is really so good after all, is it perhaps a source of unhappiness? Suppose you admit that they are happy, but it is a happy thing to have a character and a career that leads one to one's own eventual destruction. On the other hand, can you call them unhappy if in sacrificing themselves, they save the lives and fortunes of others? Take the case of the minister who conscientiously and uprightly opposes an unjust decision of the king. Some say, tell the truth, and if the king will not listen, let him do what he likes. You have no further obligations. On the other hand, choose you, continue to resist the unjust policy of his sovereign. He was consequently destroyed. Oh, poor man. But if he had not stood up for what he believed was right, his name would not be held in honour. So there is the question. Shall the course he took be called good if at the same time it was fatal to him? I cannot tell if the world considers happiness is happiness or not. All I know is that when I consider what they go about attaining, I see them carried away, headlong, grim, obsessed, general onrush of human herd, unable to stop themselves or change their direction. I love the human herd, isn't it? All the while, they claim to be just on the point of attaining happiness. For my part, I cannot accept their standards. Changing the page here. Oh, there's a poem at the end of this, mate. Whether happiness or unhappiness, I ask myself, after all the concept of happiness has any meaning whatsoever. My opinion is that never find happiness until you stop looking for it. The greatest happiness consists precisely of doing nothing whatever that is calculated to obtain happiness. And this is, in the minds of most people, the worst possible course. I will hold to saying that perfect joy is to be without joy. Perfect praise is to be without praise. If you ask what ought to be done and what ought not to be done on earth in order to produce happiness, I answer that these questions do not have an answer. They in no way of determining such things. Yet, at the same time, if I cease striving for happiness, that's the right and the wrong at once become apparently all by themselves. Contentment and well-being at once become possible the moment you sense to act them with them in view. And if you practice non-doing, Wu Wei, you have both happiness and well-being. It sounds so, you'll be pretty bad. Surely there's got to be compassion. Yeah, if you've got a whole of these Wu Wei people standing along as you just burn yourself a mole. Yeah. Here I am. Here is how I sum it up. Heaven does nothing. Its non-doing is its serenity. Earth does nothing. Its non-doing is rest. From the union of these two non-doings, all action proceeds. All things are made, how vast, how invisible. This coming to be, all things come from nowhere. How vast, how invisible. No way to explain it. All beings in their perfection are born in non-doing. Hence it is said, quote, the heaven and earth do nothing, yet there is nothing they do not do. Where is the man who can attain to this doing nothing? I really think he's got himself in a mind prison. He's got himself mentally fucked. Okay, symphony for a seabird. You cannot put a big load in a small bag, nor can you, with a short rope, draw water from a deep well. You cannot talk to a power politician as if he were a wise man. If he seeks to understand you, if he looks inside himself to find the truth you have told him, he cannot find it there. Not finding it, he doubts when a man... he will kill. And this is interesting. I like that. You cannot plumb a deep well with a short rope. You know, ultimately, there are these people with short rope, and the politicians will kill people. Have you not heard how a bird from the sea was blown inshore and landed outside the capital of Lu? The prince ordered a solemn reception, offered the sea bird wine and sacred precinct, called for musicians to play a composition of Shun, slaughtered cattle to nourish it, dazed with symphonies. The unhappy seabird died of despair. I love that one. How should you treat the bird? As yourself, or as a bird? Ought not a bird to nest in deep woodland, or fly over a meadow or a marsh? Ought it not to swim over a river or pond, feed on eels and fish, fly in formation with other waterfowls, rest in the reeds? Bad enough for a seabird to be surrounded by men and frightening their voices. This is not enough. They killed it with music. I can see this says to me about what a scientist is. Play with the symphonies you like on marshlands of Thung Ting. The birds will fly away in all directions. The animals will hide. The fish will dive to the bottom. But men will gather around to listen. Water is for fish, air is for men, nature differs and needs with them. Hence the wise men of old do not lay down one measure for all. I do like the idea of having your rope is too short for my well. Wholeness. How does the true man of Tao walk through walls without obstruction, stand in fire without being burnt? Not because of cunning or daring, not because he is learned, but because he is unlearned. All that is by form, semblance, sound, and colour, all is object. Among them all, man alone is more than an object. though, like objects, he has form semblance. He is not limited to form. He is more. He can attain the formless. Isn't that beautiful? I like attaining the formless is really true knowledge. Like, I can actually be interested in something where I can have no... I can only read about it in books, or I can think about it. When he is beyond the semblance, beyond this and that, where there is comparison with another object. So where is the comparison with another object? Beautiful. Okay, we're going through here. Where is the conflict? What can stand in his way? He will rest in his eternal place, which is no place. He will be hidden in his own unfathomable secrets. His nature sinks to its roots. In one, his vitality is power. Hide a secret Tao. When he is all one, there is no flaw in him by which a wedge can enter. So a drunken man falling out of a wagon is bruised but not destroyed. His bones are like the bones of other men's. But his fall is different. His spirit is entire. He is not aware of getting into the wagon or falling out of one. Life and death are nothing to him. He knows no alarm. He meets obstacles without thought, without care, taking them without knowing they are there. If there is such a security in wine, how much more in Tao? A wise man is hidden in Tao. Nothing can touch him. It's quite drunk with knowledge, drunk with favour. Okay, how are we doing here? The need to win. When an archer is shooting for nothing, he has all his skill. If he shoots for a brass buckle, he is really nervous. If he shoots for a prize of gold, he goes blind. So he sees two targets. He is out of his mind. His skill has not changed, but the prize divides him. He cares. He thinks more about winning than of shooting, and needs to win drains him of power. Isn't that beautiful? The sacrificial swine. See how many pages go. Oh, this is a short one. The grand augur who sacrificed the swine and read the omens in the sacrifice came dressed in his long dark robes to the pig pen and spoke to the pigs as follows. Quote, here is my counsel to you. Do not complain about having to die. Set your addictions aside, please. Realize that I shall now feed you on choice grain for 3 months. I myself will have to observe strict discipline for 10 days and fast for 3. Then I will lay out grass mats and offer you your hams and shoulders upon delicately carved platters with great ceremony. What more do you want? Then reflecting, he considered the questions from the pig's point of view. Of course, I suppose you would prefer to be fed on ordinary coarse feed and be left alone in your pen. But again, seeing it once more from his own point of view, he replied, no, definitely, there is a nobler kind of existence. To live in honours, to receive the best treatment, to ride in a carriage with fine clothes, even though at any moment one may be disgraced and executed. That is a noble, though uncertain, destiny that I have chosen for myself. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's beautiful. So he decided against the pig's point of view and adopted his own point of view, both for himself and the pigs also. How fortunate are those swines, those existences, thus ennobled by one who is at once an officer of state and a minister of religion. The Fighting Cock. Qi Huizhu was a trainer of fighting cocks for King Huzhan. He was training a fine bird. The king kept asking if the bird were ready for combat. Not yet, said the trainer. He is full of fire. He is ready to pick a fight with every other bird. He is vain and confident of his own strength. After 10 days, he answered again. Not yet, he flares up when he hears another bird crow. After 10 more days, not yet, he still gets that angry look and ruffles his feather. Then again, 10 days, the trainer said, now he's nearly ready. And when another bird crows, his eyes does not even flicker. He stands immobile. Oh, beautiful. Like a cock in the wood, he is a mature fighter. Other birds will take one look at him and run. Isn't that beautiful? That is, isn't that beautiful view? Okay, I'm going to go in and put this on the internet. Next coming up is the wood carver. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.